Morning, everybody. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Dr. Lena Wen joins me again in Studio A. She is Baltimore City's health commissioner and our guest each month for a series we call Health Watch. We have conversations about issues affecting the health and well-being of Charm City residents and anybody who residences anywhere else. Lena, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Tom.
So we want to talk about sugary drinks today. We're going to talk a little bit about a thing you did at the White House with some other folks from Baltimore. But I want to start with Prince and his evidently the medical examiner in Minnesota has declared that he died of an overdose of fentanyl. You're going to be speaking tomorrow at the Clinton Foundation meeting that they're holding in Atlanta with President Clinton in attendance about opioids. This is something you've been a national leader about. What do you now know about what's happened to Prince and how can that inform us in terms of policy moving forward?
Well, what we see with opioid overdose is that addiction does not discriminate. Overdose does not discriminate. It doesn't matter if you are a famous individual. It doesn't matter your age. You're all at risk. Fentanyl, we know, is a growing problem here in Baltimore as well. It is an extremely powerful opioid. Actually, it's 50 to 100 times stronger than morphine and dozens of times stronger than heroin. And it's now being mixed in with heroin, and people don't know it. And so we're seeing people overdose from fentanyl. The number of people overdosing from fentanyl here in Baltimore City has increased by 7 times in just the last 2 years alone.
What's it usually prescribed for?
I use it in the ER if a patient has just been in a terrible car accident, they're screaming in pain, their hip is out of joint, and I have to reduce their joint. I mean, it's for that level of extreme pain. And this is another reason why we encourage every one of our residents here in the city to get trained in using naloxone or Narcan. You can visit don'tdie.org, our website, and learn to use this life-saving medication. It'll save your life. Overdose from heroin, from fentanyl, from prescription opioids as well. And it's something that we can all do today.
And Prince was evidently not like your textbook drug user. He was not a recreational drug user from what people have at least reported heretofore. So he was using this for pain, and evidently he accidentally overdosed. I mean, do you concur with that finding from what you know about that case?
Well, we do know that the number of people overdosing from prescription opioids has quadrupled in the last 12 years across the country. And we know this is something that we see all the time as physicians. I've seen children accidentally take their grandparents' medications that are lying around. I've seen people take too many of their prescription pills without realizing how dangerous they can be. And that's another reason to always ask your doctor about what is the right amount that you should be taking, what are the side effects, what are the alternatives, and to always have naloxone or Narcan with you.
Dr. Lena Wen is the City Health Commissioner of Baltimore. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. It's our Health Watch series. I also want to talk to you about an event that was held at the White House last week about social entrepreneurship, particularly about Baltimore. And I guess this grew out of the uprising in April of 2015. And there were a whole bunch of folks from Baltimore, including yourself, who spoke at the White House. What was that? What happened over there?
Well, the spotlight has been on Baltimore in some not so great ways. And I'm glad that we had the event last week where the White House, the Aspen Institute, and one of our local nonprofits that I'm very fond of, Baltimore Corps, came together to highlight the great things that are happening in the city. And people may not think of Baltimore necessarily as the hub of social entrepreneurship. And they certainly might not think about local government as that instigator. But I was proud to represent the health department and speak about how local government can be that catalyst for transformative change. And I joined our nonprofit leaders, including the leaders from Thread, from Merit Baltimore, and others who are doing incredible things in our city. You know, I'm reminded of a quote by Congressman Elijah Cummings, one of my heroes, who talks about how we should not be aiming for common ground, that actually we should be looking for higher ground. And I think that's what we do here in the city. We don't just want for Baltimore to be as good as other cities or meet the expectations of local governments around the country. We want for Baltimore to be the model that others look to as an example. And that White House event was an ideal place to showcase all the great work that we're doing. For example, reducing infant mortality to record lows. For example, with our aggressive overdose campaign that's being modeled across the country. For example, with our Safe Streets and Violence Prevention Programs. And I was very proud to stand with our other leaders leaders to speak about the great work that is happening here in our city.
See, and I think it's really interesting and indicative of your approach to this particular job. You're the city health commissioner, you're a physician, but you're talking about street violence, you're talking about entrepreneurship, you're talking about, you know, fixing the problems of the city in a very holistic way. I mean, this is a health issue to you as a physician, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every issue can be tied back to health in some way. How can we speak about the future of our kids and their ability to learn without also addressing their vision? That's why we launched Vision for Baltimore, to get every child glasses. If a child can't see, he or she will be put back in school, maybe labeled as being disruptive. That's a health issue. Same with criminal justice. We can't talk about crime without addressing mental health, without addressing addiction. And it's that understanding of health as it ties to everything. And I would say it's not just about health. It's about the well-being of our community, physical, spiritual, emotional well-being. And that's what we work on from the vantage point of the health department.
And one of your big initiatives now, you testified about this in front of the City Council of Baltimore last week, about a proposal to require warnings about sugary drinks. You're taking on an issue that Mike Bloomberg took on in New York and others have picked up on across the country. But sugar in our diets is clearly a problem, not just for adults, but for a lot of kids as well.
For the first time in our history, we are seeing this absolutely disturbing trend that sends shivers down my spine, which is that we're seeing our children come in with diseases that we used to only see in adults. I'm seeing 14-year-old kids have adult-onset diabetes. I'm seeing 16-year-olds who begin to have high cholesterol, high blood pressure, even heart problems. I've seen 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds come in with morbid obesity. And these are issues that are resulting in early death for generations to come. And yes, there are many contributors, but we know that one of the biggest contributors to childhood obesity is soda, is sugary drinks, is added sugar in our diets that have no nutritional value. And so we also know that this is not just a health issue, but a civil rights issue, a justice issue, because companies disproportionately market their sugary drinks to communities of color, communities in low-income areas like ours. And our parents and youth leaders have been telling us that they see these ads by Beyonce and some sports stars about why these drinks are so cool to drink, but they don't know about the health risks associated. And that's why kids are drinking not just one soda a day, they're drinking 8, 10 sodas a day that are cutting short their lives. And so our legislation that we support, that Councilman Mosby introduced, is to put a warning label at places where sugary drinks are sold and on advertisements for sugary drinks so that we level the playing field of information. This is about education. It's about getting the word out about the importance of watching our diet and the importance of health for the livelihoods and futures of our children.
So let's make sure folks understand what this proposes, which is this is not labeling the containers. So the manufacturers are not going to be required to stick a warning label on the container the way cigarette manufacturers are, for example. But I guess this is signage that has to be prevalent in places where these kinds of beverages are sold.
Imagine if you are thirsty and you walk into a gas station or a corner store. We want for individuals like you, if you're thirsty, when you walk in, to look at a sign and say, oh, I was going to get a regular Coke, regular Pepsi, but now that I see that that it's a reminder that sodas contribute, sugary drinks contribute to obesity, diabetes, and tooth decay, that you will reach instead for water or diet soda or something else without that added sugar. You're not going to go away thirsty. So there is no anticipated impact on our retailers. They're not going to lose the business. You're not just going to say, well, I see the warning sign, so I'm not going to buy anything at all. And there is no cost to manufacturers, as you mentioned, because there is no cost of additional printing. This really is about education and about empowering parents in particular to make the best choices for their children. That's why this idea didn't come from us in the health department. It didn't come from scientists. It actually came from parents. It came from pediatricians. It came from youth groups who are asking us for education to make an informed choice.
And it's an education campaign that's, as you say, going up against folks like Beyonce, who was paid by some reports $50 million to be an advocate for, you know, a spokesperson spokesperson for Pepsi. You've got a lot of advertising, obviously, that's going to counter this, which is to say, this is an approach that has to do with education rather than revenue. Philadelphia has Philadelphia City Council has in front of it a proposal to tax soda and to tax sugary beverages and then use that money to pay for education and other programs. This is not a revenue generating proposal. You're taking a different tack here.
Our tack here is the easiest, simplest, smallest step that we can possibly take to reduce childhood obesity here in Baltimore City. It really is simply about education and an informed choice. That said, we last week at the city council hearing, we saw how much money the industry is already spending on countering this very basic educational campaign. Every year, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising, hundreds of millions of dollars or more on lobbying efforts. We don't have that funding. We don't have that money. What we do have, though, is the will of our community. We had hundreds of community members representing various youth groups and unions and churches and sororities. NAACP came out in support of our legislation because it really is about choice. We had over 2,500 signatories on our petition for this campaign, including by leading pediatricians from every hospital and university here in Baltimore City, because this really is the science is clear, and all we're doing is allowing for people to make an informed choice about what to do with their bodies and their future.
Okay, Lena Nguyen, always good to see you. Thanks so much.
Nice to see you too.
Dr. Lena Nguyen is Baltimore City's health commissioner. She's our guest each month for our Health Watch series. We'll have a link to more information about the proposal to require warnings about sugary drinks on our website. Come on over to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, we'll meet three theater directors who are taking a spin as actors in a new production at the Single Carrot Theater. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.